It's February 17th. It's my son's birthday today. CJ. It's cold. It's miserable. I'm feeling funny. How are you?
I was going to ask how you're feeling. Something's really gummy here. What's going on?
No, stop.
So my house is at the bottom of a hill, a nice gentle slope, and all the snow melts and the water runs down, then overnight freezes into just sheer ice all in front of my driveway.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, there's not enough salt in the world. Not enough salt in the world to salt it up.
Yeah, it's been pretty miserable. But
looking forward to golf season.
It's mid-February. After mid-Feb, CJ, we're getting there.
Yeah, and we're already kicking off Twi and the Gavi Cup.
You did a nice job with Twi. I feel like I know exactly what's going on with Twi now.
Yeah.
And it's mid-February.
Yeah.
And CJ, I have some exciting news for you as we start this podcast.
Bring it on.
The I'm going to call it McGavi Cup for one time only.
Okay.
Is now closed.
It's closed? What do you
it's
mean closed?
It's closed.
You're discontinuing the tournament?
We have 25 teams, CJ.
I don't think we have that many members, Scott.
It's unbelievable. CJ,
I'm shocked that we're at 100.
We went from 27 last year, right? That was the high water mark. 108 people. And for those who will listen back to old podcasts, which I know a lot of people do, that's what they tell me. We said many, many times that we were going to cull the herd and probably get down to like 80. We're at 100, CJ.
That was fast.
And I think we're going to have to stay there. I don't think we'll get back to 27, but here's the thing we don't know. This is now where we play defense, like we were on offense before, just getting answers. We got all our answers. A couple new ones came in, and now we just sit back, and then if people want to get in, and this will happen, there's a chance we could get back to 27, but we're functionally working up, 25. Are you good with that?
That's great. Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to being in Flight 3 again.
It sounds like you will be, but that was your choice. You had a lot of options to move up. You just didn't want the responsibility.
I like my team.
You just got an offer. I just heard you get an offer.
I did get an offer.
So, big news. Disgruntlement is back. In the form of Jay Wren, Jeff Capello, and Donnie Wright.
The dream team.
I don't know why they left last year, because, they like to be naysayers, but they're back.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that they should be in Flight 3, right?
They'll be it'll be close.
Another fourth.
Well, I mean, Donnie never posts a score, so I don't know. I mean, he still might be his handicap he was in high school.
Yeah.
So they're going to be second, probably third flight. I think last time they played, they were third flight.
Yeah. I always love playing against them.
Yeah. No, they'll be fun. So we have some, we don't have any new teams per se. We have rejuggled teams.
Yep.
Look, we're not going to go through them all because I don't think that's good podcasting, but everybody can just look on the grid and see that there were, I would say, maybe 5 or 6 teams that have done a complete makeover of at least 2 players.
Yeah.
Some name changes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We must have a lot of new people because I know of a handful of people already who are not playing this year.
Yeah, so I'll throw out some names as I remember. Let me just mention the whole Capello circus. And they need a fourth, which I assume they're going to get. A guy named Matt Anise. Do you know Matt? He's a good guy. He joined this year. 2 women signed up with Raquel and Michael Cerulea.
Oh, okay.
And they both have legit handicaps. They both have gin indexes. So they're going to be a team of 4. I don't know. Their former name was something balls, so I guess they're going to have to change that.
4
to
balls.
Some extent. Yes, 4 balls, right.
So 2 balls.
Yes, I guess they could go to 2 balls.
Assuming.
But the problem is the 4 was F-O-R-E. They did the play on words like CJ. Which Smola obviously did not have anything to do with because he has trouble lighting a match. So
I can tell you that's not true.
but So there were a couple of other new ones, but Tui Connell, who runs the All-Star Band, who I'm going to get to, he's going to come up again in this podcast. But so he's in. Yeah, so 100 guys, CJ. 100 people, I should say. We don't have to be woke anymore, but just in being woke, I'm going to say 100 people.
I think it's fun to have anyone participate in the club that can participate. There's not many events that are like that, especially competitive. I think this must be the only competitive event that invites every adult member to play.
Yes. Anybody with it? All we care about is they have a chin handicap.
Oh. Maybe Capello, Ren, and Donnie could get Sherwin's son.
Yeah, I think we got to have an age limit. Yeah. We got to have an age limit. CJ, I got some bad news for you.
Uh-oh.
And I may have to blame you for this. Your buddy James Anderson is out of the McGavin Cup.
That's devastating. Devastating.
Actually hurtful, if you think about it. We gave the guy an hour of time to expound on his position, and then his answer was to bail.
There's going to be... That's a lot of drama gone from the season.
A lot of drama. I agree.
I'm saying that's a negative thing. This club wouldn't survive without. I don't know if we like drama, but our club wouldn't survive without it.
Are you kidding? This club loves drama. Are you kidding me? Do you know that Joel Patterson? Do you know Joel Patterson?
Yeah.
He produces TV shows. I've been trying to convince him to do a show of this club, as a metaphor for, you know, the way people are at country clubs.
Oh, God.
Because this club thrives on drama.
Yeah.
That's all they care about. Someone has a hole in one, and everybody forgets the next day. Someone goes ahead and, you know, well, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's talked about
for years.
For years.
Yeah.
So there you go. To my point.
Yeah.
We have steam room issues, and everybody wants to talk about it forever.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
So. Anyway, CJ, there we are with the tournament. So obviously we have to go a little bit through this tournament because this podcast is meant for those who need, well, not visual aids, but audio aids that don't like to read emails. And I just find that when we send emails, like, I feel like they're going into the ethernet. So we're going to talk about some things.
People just get too much email. People get too much email. They don't read email.
Well, I mean, what do you want us to do, CJ? I mean, and then what happens if we start the season and everybody says, "Well, I didn't know about this." So I'm like, you know,
People hear it. It goes in one ear, out the other.
I understand. So we're going to put it in the one ear and hope it sticks there.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Item one: the date and place and time of the opening season party.
Let's hear it.
April 10th.
Tack room?
No. The Shattuck Country Club Ballroom.
April 10th.
Thursday, April 10th.
Back to tradition.
First day of the Masters.
A tradition unlike any other.
Correct.
Our tradition is
green jackets optional, but encouraged.
Okay.
I assume Kirker will wear his. We have, obviously, the champions kicking in their chair.
Yep.
That would be Sherwin, Winchell.
Mark Shields.
Shields, yeah. He's in. He has to kick in.
Yeah.
That's, even though he's not here anymore, but he's invited to the party.
He quit the club?
Yeah, he's out of the club.
Yeah, and he moved to like North Shore or something.
And Diggles. So, yeah, but I assume he'll come to the party and he owes us
now.
The share. They got a guy named Chris Peterson.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
I know Chris. But anyway, so to that end, CJ, and I know you can't speak for the band, but I'm going to ask Tui to bring the band for that night. Now, granted, there won't be dancing. This will be more like a jam session. I mean, there can be dancing. Again, I'm not judgy like that. But likely there's not going to be dancing. But it could be a nice jam session.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Are you in?
I'm in.
So I will reach out to Tui. So it's Tui Trentino, who did drop, but would certainly come. He has to come. He's the only one that plays the drums.
Yep.
Rendo? Will play, right?
Yeah.
Brian Smith will have to be there.
Yeah.
So you got a good group.
Great group.
All right. So you're good. So you're in. We're going to have live music, buffet dinner, maybe enough money to cover open bar for a round, and we'll encourage everybody to go. We have averaged about 50% of the field in recent years. I'd like to beat that and get to maybe 60. That would be nice. 60, even 65. So we'll remind, we'll email, we'll cajole, we'll do everything we got to do.
Great. But
let's get this to be a good one. All right. By the way, it is only free up until we spend the money that we have from the champions and then what we have left over.
Yep.
So there may be a charge. Everybody's going to probably pay something.
Okay.
Okay? So just FYI. All right, rules, CJ. Are you ready?
Ready.
We agreed on these, I believe. If we didn't, remind me. 90% of current index as opposed to 12-month low.
Outstanding.
Yes. Better for the club. Better for the pro shop, I mean. But can I just say one thing to you, CJ, as someone who understands how the game works? Last year, the 12-month low benefited a certain faction of the club, right?
Who?
People who were playing to their 12-month low. When I say faction, I don't mean personality-wise. I mean where you are with your golf game. Yeah. The same thing is going to happen this year. There's going to be a certain group of people that because they're playing well, their handicap has not caught up with their level of play, and the 90% index to current handicap will benefit them. Okay? That's just the way it is. Someone's always going to benefit from whatever you choose.
I'm hoping that's me this year.
Okay, well, I hope so too, CJ, but we got to get rid of that vanity handicap first.
Oh, it's gone. I'm over 3 strokes above my low.
All right, that's good. That's good. You're also a little too low in, as a side mention, at X-Golf handicap, you know, I know it's a video game and all, and we are in first place, CJ.
We're
halfway through our league.
Tied for first. Driscoll and Kenny are starting to move up the standings a little
bit. Are they?
They're
out of the basement?
They're out of the basement. They're in seventh place by half a point. Half a point above 10th.
Yeah, there's no... I mean, this thing's going to keep... I love you to death, but you did not play well last time we played. It might have been the third bourbon you had.
Yeah.
That one wasn't probably a good idea.
Yeah, I started strong, ended poorly.
You did.
Well, also, our last round, though, I mean, I was giving the guy 2 strokes, and he shot even par. So
I was giving my guy 10.
He shot like a 60.
I know, he was terrible.
But my guy shot even par, so I would have had to shoot 2 under.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to lose that round, then I might as well go big.
Yes, okay, but wait. Where we had the fluff was in the combined,
yeah.
And we were 1 shot off of that. I needed you to have 1 less shot, and we win that.
We've gotten plenty of points for us this year.
Okay, CJ. All right, anyway.
Back to next week.
90% of current handicap back to the outdoor game, the pure game. CJ, if we're only going to have 25 teams, how many playoff teams should we have? It's not the NHL.
Eight or ten.
All right, okay. So again, I have to be the woke one. I'm gonna say 10.
2 buys?
No, that would be the top 6 teams. So if we have 3 flights, what I think is gonna happen with 25 is we're gonna have 2 flights of 8, the top 2 flights, where they'll each play across once, and then 1 flight of 9. The 9th flight will be 9 teams, where everybody plays everybody. And what will happen is the first and second place teams in each flight make the playoffs in the bracket. The last 4 teams, which would all be wild cards, play in for the final 2 spots in the bracket.
Okay.
So that the top 2 teams will end up getting a play-in winner of the wild card teams.
All right.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, it works.
CJ, we were in the middle, before we were interrupted, of picking the date. So... Oh, here's another thing. We agreed on this, if I'm correct, that in the playoffs, let's stick with playoffs before we go back to regular season, you do not have to play all 4 guys in every round. Only in the finals, which we're going to get to as a separate entity. We're going to treat the finals like the Super Bowl, where it's completely separate. But in the playoffs, you can decide who of your 4 players plays both matches in the playoffs. Ideally, there's only a substitution because of availability to keep things going. But this way, when we set the playoff windows, they should be honored 100%. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So, given that we'll have a play-in round, And there will have 8 teams that go to 4 and 4 that go to 2. So theoretically, that's, we need 3 windows plus the date.
Okay.
We should be able to accomplish that by mid October, yes?
Yeah.
Do you have a date in mind?
I am looking at the Nishadok calendar right now to see if we have like aeration.
Yep.
And stuff. I think I was thinking the 10th.
Yep, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think it was pencil in the 10th.
So think about the symmetry here, CJ. We got April 10th for the opener, and October 10th for the closer.
Great.
That's pretty amazing, don't you think? There's something about that that is... CJ, it's pretty amazing. You're the math guy. Anyway.
Apparently you are now. 10 equals 10. Yeah, look how Chris. It's freaking wild.
Pretty good.
It's like blowing my mind, man.
CJ. All right. So October 10th. This will all be immortalized somewhere. But that's going to be the date of the finals. So the only thing I would say to everybody, CJ, I'm going to get close to the mic. If you can't be there October 10th, don't play in this tournament. Because why would you play it if you don't think you're going to get to the finals? Right?
Yeah.
Now, I would say that by having October 10th, we could be flexible if we had a real situation.
Yeah.
However, we agree that having it right after the Nooners on that Friday is
great.
Ideal.
Ideal.
Right.
And hopefully it's a competitive match so I can go out and watch the last four holes.
Yeah, terrible last year. Terrible. By the way, that participant, Paul Kramer, out.
Yeah.
Out of the tournament, out of the club.
That's wild.
He's a dining member.
That's so weird.
He's not going to ever come out here. CJ, Paul Kramer lives on, like, Stewart Street in Boston.
Yeah.
He could walk to Grill 23, where he would pay about the same amount that they charge here at Nishadok. Why would he get in his car and come out here a half hour to Nishadok when he could just eat at Grill 23?
There's no reason.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I think dining was, I don't want to pull the Band-Aid off the whole way. So, and you know, Paul is a little sensitive, like, physically that way. So, like, he pulled it almost all the way off, and then he snipped it right at the end, so he didn't have to get that last bit off.
Yeah, this might be, like, a one-year experiment for him.
No,
but he has the option.
He won't be a dining member next year.
Well, he'll be gone.
I think he'll be gone.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. He does have the option. And if he feels like he really missed it and he had the time, but that's not the way Kramer works. He'll fill his time.
Yeah.
He's impossible to schedule for anything anyway. So, all right, so October 10th, CJ, we're locking that in. So it'll always, this is finally where you come in and do your thing. You're going to set up the schedule, and everybody will play everybody once in flight, and then obviously we'll have one crossover.
One and two. We'll crossover, yeah.
There'll be two. You, as a team, you will be obligated to 2 matches a month.
Yeah.
Now, the other change we're making, if I'm correct, because we discussed, you only have to play 1 match. A teammate only has to play 1 of the 8 matches.
Yeah. That's going to definitely end up, it's a good change. It's definitely going to end up causing some drama, some inner team drama, when there's someone who will only play once. I don't want to play 8 matches.
Here's my prediction. Number one, you made a great point. Why am I so hungry? Number one, you made a great point. Because if one guy only plays 1 match, that means that likely someone on the team had to play 6. If someone on the team doesn't want to play 6, that's a problem. I personally believe we won't see anybody that plays less than 2. If they do, it's because of some injury or a job change or something like that. I think it won't be a big deal, but I think that human nature dictates it's better to just let people figure out for themselves than tell them to do it.
Yeah.
So that's that change. I'm proposing one to you that's really important to discuss. Because I'm not sure we'll agree. I recommend that this year, it sounds like between playoffs, between scheduling and all of that, the seeding is going to, it's important every year, right? I recommend we only seed based on the top two indices on each team.
The lowest two or the highest?
The lowest two.
Interesting.
Yep. Because theoretically, the highest two are along for the ride anyway.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
So that's my recommendation. Do you agree?
I agree.
Then that's done.
Done.
So that may change where some guys end up.
Oh, definitely.
For instance, yeah. And I'm not doing this for any particular reason, but Jeremy Mead has been, I think, in the second flight, like, well, no, maybe not, because he has Baldini too, but those guys will now be absolutely in the first flight.
Yeah.
No one will slip down that shouldn't be down, is my point.
Do we want to remove double pops?
We're getting there. Yep. I just want to make sure you agreed with.
No, I think it's a great idea.
I thought we maxed at 28, but you're saying the most you can get in a match is 18 off the low man?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's fair. Well, the only reason was...
You mean you could...
What if we got rid of it in the playoffs? What if a first place team plays a third place? I mean, a flight one team plays a flight three team, and one of the guys in the flight three team has to play Jeremy Mead and should be getting a couple shots. Not every hole, but never work out that way. But
that
I don't think we have any. No, because we're maxing it to 28, so we'd only have 10 holes with two shots.
Yeah.
But this is, I don't understand why we forget this. When we talk about Jeremy Mead giving up two shots a hole on 10 holes, there's a reason why. CJ, Jeremy Mead goes out and shoots 72 all the time. And the guy who is carrying a 28, which we cut down, is not shooting 100. So there's a reason why.
All right.
This is what I don't get. I'm not saying from you. I'm saying, like, people complain. I'm like, this is what it is. And you should be able to do it mathematically. Look at the guy. And I'm not going back. Believe me, we're not going to spend a lot of time on S-Golf, even though they are a sponsor. That guy that I was supposed to beat by 10, I'm like, well, I'm not going to beat a guy at a video game by 10. But I beat him by, like, 14.
That guy was terrible.
Yes, I understand, but that's my point. There was a reason why I was... And that, by the way, for those listening, that's 10 shots over 9 holes. I was giving him 20 strokes.
Yeah. Oh, you've been lucky in that. Like, I feel like every week we play, you play the guy who stinks that day.
I don't think I've played anybody who's good.
I get the guys who shoot, like, one over.
I know, you do.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're the eight.
Well, like you said, you've given us some points, CJ. So yeah. We're all good. All right, can we go back? So we are agreeing on that. The teams are going to be ranked based upon the lowest two indices of the four.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. Given that, then that affects everything else. The scheduling, the playoffs, and all that's going to be based on those rankings, because those rankings are how we really do the scheduling, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Last thing that I had, and again, we talked about this. I don't know if it's even a thing, but you cannot win a hole with more than a net double bogey. Does that make sense?
Another great change.
Max, I don't know if that's a change. Do you think that's actually happened?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people...
Right.
People.
So the point being...
You pick up a net double bogey.
Yes, there's a little thing there. If I'm, for some reason, lying 5 on a par 4 without a shot, and I'm like 100 yards out, I mean, I'll go ahead and hit it, but, I mean, I'm probably picking up anyway. But if that double bogey, that net double bogey, can actually win the hole, you've got to play it out. You know what I mean? You can't just pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, what we're trying to accomplish...
When you reach net double bogey...
You pick it up.
You pick it up and you've tied.
Right.
Because someone shot a 30, but for the purpose... Got like a 15 on a hole. They're net double bogey for the purposes of the tournament.
Right. Yes, for everything. Here's... I guess what we're trying to avoid could be in the first flight, could be in the third, where for whatever reason all four guys are out, but two guys have to keep slogging away to get a win for the hole, and one guy beats the other guy like 11-10, 11-12 or something like that. We're getting rid of that.
Yeah.
If you can't accomplish a win after net double bogey on either side, it's a pushed hole.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I agree.
Okay. So, other than that, those were the... There are a lot of rule changes, but they're logical.
Being clear, I get a net double bogey, natural. Everyone else gets a 20. The hole is tied.
No. If you grind in for the net double bogey, double bogey is real, then you'll win that hole.
But if I, or sorry, if I get a net triple bogey, so
yes.
If I get a net triple bogey,
yes.
I shot like an 8 on a par 4. And everyone else shot at 20, we tie the hole.
Yeah.
I have to make the double bogey.
Mm-hmm.
All right, done.
Yep. We're not going to have guys win with 8s and 9s. So just,
yeah, that's awful.
Right.
That's.
Did I miss anything?
No, I think we covered everything for the tournament.
For the rules?
Yeah.
Scheduling. Money. I think I'm about a little more than 50% collected, which is great.
Okay.
And people need to understand... Nothing is done with this money. It just sits there. But it commits you to being in the tournament, which is what we need.
Yeah.
When you don't collect money in advance, people don't have the same amount of commitment. So that's why we... And now that we're at 25 teams and we want to close it down, the money becomes a real issue now.
Yeah.
I believe we still have one team that's looking for one human being.
Two teams at least.
Two teams that are. Okay. So hopefully,
yeah,
no one will be left lacking.
Yeah.
That's requested, but we can't promise that because, you know, it's very fluid.
Yeah.
All right. CJ, I think that's it with my tournament, our tournament. Are we good with that?
The people's tournament.
The tournament of the people, yeah. CJ. Would you like to expound at all on the TWI?
Yeah, we're... It's going to be a good season. We got a pretty good amount of sign-ups. There was a little you signed up early, so you missed. There was someone accidentally edited the survey and got it all jangled up. But
that'd be 2K.
Yeah. But we had, I don't know, at least 30 sign-ups so far. So it'd be a similar size to last year. We got a lot of, I think we got a great squad. We'll be looking to replicate the playoff run. Our first home match is against Woodland, who we lost to in the playoffs last year.
That's good.
So we get, you know, get the quasi revenge game. Our away matches last year, you're not going to beat last year's lineup of away courses.
No, last year was amazing.
Last year was like ideal. This year, not quite as good. I got one away
Tedesco,
match.
Right? That's a good one.
I'm captaining Tedesco, so I'll be putting together our most obnoxious squad for that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
That is also a course that you've played there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The back nine there's a lot of blind shots and stuff, some little bit of trickery.
It's real. I really like that course.
I do too.
I like where it is. I like
the opening tee shot's cool because you're right up there on the patio with everyone that's like eating lunch.
No, you're thinking about...
No, that's Tedesco.
But also, have you ever played at... what's the one in Weston? Braeburn.
Yeah.
When you tee off at Braeburn, you're like... They're eating lunch. You're standing
everyone's
right there.
Yeah, and you finish in front of, like, their big party tent.
Yes. Yes. So.
I have hit into, what looked like a wedding party.
Are we talking to Braeburn or
launched
Tedesco?
Launched it over the green and into the party. It was frowned upon.
Yeah, I have to say I was disappointed at the aways... But what I would be much more disappointed in is guys signing up just to play away matches. That's not the spirit of the TWI. You sign up to win.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. CJ.
We have new captains, too.
Oh, yeah. Do we?
Yeah.
Did we already announce this?
Not on here.
Well, let's do it.
So, returning as head captain, Bill Scheid. Returning captain, Bill Ward. Returning captain, me. Two rookie captains, because Ricky Oshana is now chairman emeritus of TWI.
Gotcha.
And Baldini is also playing TWI for Concord, so that
he's
was...
playing TWI for Concord?
And us. Yeah. So he can't
not.
Be a...
No, he's not.
can't be a captain double agent. So new captains, Chad Wagner and Ryan Marston.
Wow, you just called Chad Wagner a rookie. Do you realize that?
Yeah, he's a rookie captain.
Okay. I'm going to guess the last time he was called a rookie.
Definitely the best player on the captains, so we'll be firing him out there.
It was nice to get a guy who knows the game on the captain's say so. Good
we,
for you.
We talked about you briefly for one of the captain spots, and that was rejected immediately.
I would have never accepted, ever. I do enough things. I never would have done it. I do enough things, CJ. CJ, have you seen that we finally have new memorializers? What do you call those things? The plaques.
Yeah.
For all the tournaments.
Memorializers.
I don't know what you call them. There's a lot of dead people on those plaques.
Yeah.
Did you see them?
No, not yet.
Oh, you weren't here? There was a day that we were all... I thought you were here. We all went into the pro shop and Brian was putting them together?
I was not here.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where they're going to put them. They're going to be somewhere here in the men's locker room. But they look pretty cool.
Nice.
They're not the old-fashioned Arrowhead ones. But they look cool.
Okay.
Those are going up. Are you on the golf committee this year?
Yeah. I am the president of the MGA this year.
Wow. You love titles, CJ.
Yeah. Justin Allison is the golf chair this year. He's already off to a hot start. He's doing great stuff.
You're going to get really sick of those emails.
No.
Justin Allison has out-emailed me at Neshadik 10 to 1. Easily. And that's hard to do.
Oh, he does a lot of stuff.
Oh, by the way, I love him to death, and I would never fault someone who's organized and is a doer. But yeah, he's a doer.
Yeah. We're going to try, so some goals for the year. One is to do an elevated member event. I don't know if that's going to be augmenting an existing tournament.
Well, what do you mean by elevated? Because we do have a member tournament.
Like nice dinner, like nice, like kind of like not invitational level.
Would it be end of the year-ish?
We have to discuss it.
Okay.
So that's one of the goals. Another goal is to put together a couple, calling it, again, like elevated reciprocal. So put together some kind of package to, for instance, like get a party bus to take some guys from Neshadik down to Foxwoods, play the private club there. Do the Foxwoods thing, bus back, just put together a couple packages like that.
2 days of golf?
Yeah, like, you know, we're not talking like
but would
fly
be a,
somewhere.
But it would be a tournament? Like, would there be money involved?
I'm assuming you can do whatever you want for that package.
It'd be better if, you know, you're on the head of the MGA if you just plan that in advance.
We'll have some kind of Anderson tournament.
You are.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be like either do like break 50.
Were you guys in cahoots on him leaving the cup?
I talked to some people. So there's
going to be
fun stuff. And then I will try to put together some kind of website that will track the Cornish Cup and
like
the season's winners and points and everything so you can have a place to look at it on your phone. And yeah, I think we'll see. We're going with great plans. A lot of goals, try to hit at least one or two of them, and then it might be next year for some other stuff to happen.
So the only recommendation I would have, you probably already thought of this, if you do create a website for the Cornish Cup, can you explain how much everything is worth in points?
I think that's got to go on there.
That felt like extra time in soccer. You know, like if it's a soccer match when they have extra time, you don't know how much it is. That's what the Cornish Cup felt like. Like I would win something, but I have no idea how many points I was getting and why.
Yeah, that's the point of it, is just have a place where all that information is. So dedicated to the Cornish Cup.
Do you think that the amount of points you get in a tournament is predicated upon the participation of that tournament? Or is it just set up front?
I don't know.
You are the president of the MGA, so be careful before you answer.
Hey, we haven't had our first meeting yet, so this is all just Very nebulous beginning stages. So I'll have to talk to Brian about the scoring system and just and publish that.
So I did what you did on the golf committee for 3 or 4 years. I didn't need a president style, but one thing that you'll find is that you just deal directly with Brian on everything and you streamline the process.
Yeah.
All right, CJ, nice job. Can't wait. It's going to be a good year. CJ, I've been walking the course. I got some updates for you.
Okay.
With some observations.
A lot of trees down.
CJ, you have no... I mean, people say that, but they have to see it. So I'm going to give you the highlights of the most obvious.
Okay.
And I'm going to... Because I've been walking the course and, you know, all the holes. But we're going to start at the first hole. On the third hole, on the right side, where those three trees are together, and then there's the one a little bit further up that kind of overshadowed the hump where they put all the landfill from the last thing we did. Gone.
No.
All of them.
I'm under that tree all the time.
All of them. But here's the one thing you're going to find with these trees. When I tell you the end result.
I'm going to be the fescue.
Bingo. Now, it may not be fescue. I had a long conversation with this about someone who thinks he knows, whose name might be Brendan Driscoll, but I don't go there. But fescue you actually have to buy and plant, whereas you could just let whatever's grow. There grow,
yeah.
And then it turns into, I guess, shitty fescue, but unplayable play, which is all they really care about. What I've heard is that wherever they've taken down the trees, they've done it for two reasons. Number one, to increase the airflow, so when it's a windy day, everything dries out more. And number two, because the bigger trees have these root systems that, even though trees don't drink water, the root systems actually get in the way of the drainage from the natural drainage, which is why you push sand down into a golf course, because then it drains better. But the roots are in the way, it actually stops that drainage. And whenever they get a ton of puddling, it's usually in a dense root system.
Oh, interesting.
So what they're going to end up doing, and I've already done, I've seen it, on the biggest trees, I think they also dug down and got out a lot of the root system. So that solves that problem. But number two, forget where the trees were. They're going to move it in. So on that third hole, your fescue line, what you call what you want, your line where they stop taking care of the course, could be a couple feet off the cart path. That is a massive difference.
It's devastating.
And I'm talking all the way up. So that little landing area there that everybody goes into, no longer an option.
That is going to make that hole very hard.
Because now your my aiming point's going to be the sand trap. The sand trap on the right. And now you're narrowing that hole so much, if indeed they do that, that all of a sudden people are not going to just do bailout rights, and you're going to see more people left into the hazard. That hole's going to change. So on the fourth hole, make the turn on the fourth hole, the tree that used to be just to the side of the sand trap. Gone.
I hope they make all that area red to increase pace of play.
Because you hit into the fifth. No, the ball's going to be in the fifth hole all the time now. All the time.
No, I'm saying if that fescue area is growing.
Oh, it's going to be, yeah. It'll be, yeah.
But I'm saying they should make it red. Because
well, it
if
doesn't
ball's
matter
going in there,
if it's going to be red, because people will still try to look for it and hit it. It doesn't matter. You can hit in a hazard.
Yeah, but if you don't find it in a red area, you can drop.
No,
you have to go back and hit again.
That makes sense. I agree. Well, you are on the golf committee, CJ, so I would recommend that. Fourth hole, tree's gone. Fifth hole, again, where it connects with the fourth hole, all the trees are gone. It's the airflow thing, I gather.
Yeah.
The next thing that was the last one I saw before all the snow came, almost bowled me over. Seventh hole, right side.
Yeah.
There's only two trees left.
That's wild.
I mean, I don't know what it's going to be. But if they let it grow there, that hole, you forget about.
Yeah. The net double bogey is going to come into play a lot.
So that's if they let it grow there. If they actually maintain it there, then there's no trees in your way. And then it makes the hole a tiny bit easier. I don't know. When you're over there, you can't get over in two, but it'll make your bailout a lot easier.
I think you're going to have a lot of guys just teeing off with irons now, if it's that, if it's going to be like
accepting
that.
Accepting the
three-shot.
Maybe. So And then obviously everybody knows about number nine with a tree on the left. That used to save as many balls as it, more balls than
I
it
agree.
Took.
If that's going to be a careful.
And that's going to be offensive.
I celebrated when I saw that tree down, and then I realized be careful what you wish for, because hitting out of the rough from 160 is a whole lot better than getting to that fescue.
Right. So that was all I saw that was significant. They did take some trees down on the right side of nine near the sand trap there. I'm not sure how much that matters. But it's going to be a different course. So here's my opinion. Based on talking to the guys, Ben and some of his other guys, if they get rid of these trees, number one, the course dries better than with the measures they've taken are nature's way of drying the course up more, which is a start to all the irrigation problems we've had, all the drainage problems we've had, right? It's something.
Yeah.
Number two, if indeed they grow out and widen fescue, then two things happen. Fescue in particular, if we end up investing in fescue, actually draws water. It draws more water than trees more quickly, so it'll draw water off the course. As you know also, it's unplayable. Fescue is unplayable.
Yeah.
We played at Salem. Salem is all fescue everywhere.
Really?
Your course is going to narrow dramatically, and they'll be able to put all their resources into the greens.
And I'm hoping that we get a first cut this year.
You may not get that.
Probably not going to get that.
No. That's a machine. But if the rough is thick and the greens are fast and it narrows itself, this course is going to be one of the hardest courses around. I'm telling you right now. People are going to not understand why they can't score in a shot.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. So, we'll see. But that's my prediction.
Yeah.
What do you think? Last year at this time, we were predicting that the club would be closed because they wouldn't be able to open the golf course.
Man, no, it's going to play tough. I thought it played tough last year. It's going to be tougher this year.
Yeah. And last year, it...
last year, the rough was thick all year.
Last year, the issue was the humidity. They couldn't get the greens down. But they did a great job. The rough grew great in the humidity. But if they get everything together now, CJ... We should never lose a try match at home, ever.
Yeah. Well, it's been a real advantage for us the last couple of years, so hopefully keep it up.
All right. Where are we at, time-wise?
42 minutes.
Oh, that's good. That's a good number for us.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else? I'm sorry about your Lions.
Yeah,
thoughts
right.
and prayers.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that today. I think they might have missed their window. I think they should have beaten San Francisco last year. And
you think
maybe
they
do, maybe
why,
do
you think the Eagles are going to get better now?
And Washington's better, yeah. And Chicago's going to be better, Green Bay, and they
those
lost
guys
the coordinators. The defensive players are going to get expensive. It's just...
No, you may be right.
And I don't think Jared Goff's good enough.
Everybody has a window.
Yeah.
I'd be sad, because I did jump on the Lions bandwagon, but I might be on the Commanders bandwagon now.
They're fun.
They are fun. And look, the Eagles were great. I was rooting against the Chiefs. You went to the Super Bowl, yes, CJ?
I did.
How was that?
It was a blast. It's always fun. I've been to a few before. That was the first blowout I've been to. Every game that I've been to before, that was a one-score game late. Someone had a chance to win it, you know, last second, stuff like that. So I got lucky with the ones before. This first blowout, still really cool. I mean, you know, a lot of people
what
watching.
What do you do at halftime? Do you just stay in your seat? It's got to be a mob scene at halftime.
I ran off before the second half, before the first half ended, and went to the bathroom, grabbed a drink. Then you just sit and watch it. It's kind of funny. The halftime show is like, it's very much made for TV, so the sound level, like in the actual arena, is usually like pretty bad.
Uh-huh.
And so it was cool. It's like, you're like, okay, cool, that was Kendrick Lamar. And then, like, I didn't really have, like, a strong opinion on it. Didn't think it was super great. Didn't think it was terrible. It was just, like, fine. But then I have people text me, like, oh, my God, that was the greatest halftime show ever and all this. I'm like, oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
I'm glad it was on TV. Couldn't...
Well, you have to be a fan, right? I had no idea before the Super Bowl who Kendrick Lamar was. I
really?
Still don't, by the way.
You don't know about his battle with Drake?
No idea.
Oh, you should dig in on that. You think
I don't know
like
anything
it?
About it.
Yeah. Yeah, New Orleans is an awesome town to host the event. I mean, we were like 10-minute walk from the Superdome.
But have things tightened up security wise because of what happened down there?
Oh yeah, like we walked over to Bourbon Street and it was National Guard everywhere, wow. Like guns everywhere, and like everything was pretty locked down. You pretty much had to walk everywhere. Like an Uber was kind of tough to get.
Yeah.
You can walk faster.
It's a walkable town. I've been
very walkable. It's great. Yeah.
So you just walk.
Yeah. Total blast there. Definitely would go again.
Was your hotel in Bourbon Street in that area?
No, Lafayette Square. So like.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, like kind of south of Bourbon Street. Yeah, we stayed away from there at night and just like went off to.
No, that's smart. You don't. It's like if you really want to do LA, Las Vegas, right? You stay off the strip and then just go to the casino.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, it's cool.
Good. Yeah.
I got this cool hat that
I was looking at that.
It shows all the Super Bowl logos of the ones that were played in New Orleans. So yeah. There've been a bunch, including a Patriots one.
Yeah.
Three Patriots ones.
I think they only won one.
They won one of them though.
Yeah. One and so. Two in New Orleans. What's up with that?
Yeah.
So CJ, I'm going to Florida in March. So I'll get a little golf in there. You got anything else coming up before the golf starts here?
No, I'm glad we're doing X golf.
Yeah.
It's not real golf.
No.
Like all the short game stuff is really freaking weird. But it's good to just get the swings in.
Yeah, it is good to get the swings in. Like I feel like when I hit my drive, it's right and all that. I would say it's, I've struggled with the putting. I don't like the chipping like you. But when you hit a good, clean club, it usually registers it for me, like, correctly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, I know I hit it well, and then the machine gives me credit for that. It's like they didn't see it wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's been 100%. Like, when I hit something I know is crappy, the machine gives me crappy.
Well, that's like, I got pretty fed up our first match when that guy I was playing, I ended up tying him. But he would hit the shot that was so bad it wouldn't get picked up by the simulator.
Right.
So he got a free mulligan. And that happened five, six times.
I agree.
And then we had to restart the game and he had hit a drive like 10 feet off the tee, then we had to restart the game, restart the hole.
Yeah. And then we lost the scores.
And he ended up birdieing it.
That's right.
So, yeah, that was BS.
And somehow we're in first place.
Either. Somehow we're in first place.
Yep. Should all right, CJ. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything?
No, I'm good.
This was good. We'll put out an email, let people know. Hopefully they'll learn. But we're done, CJ. We're under phase two of the tournament on February 17th.
Season 3 of the podcast.
Wait. No, this is... Oh, season 3, episode 1.
Season 3, episode 1.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, look forward to episode 2.
All right.
CJ, please sign us out.
Peace, love, reciprocals.